This is Storage Unpacked. Subscribe at storageunpacked.com.
Hi, this is Chris Evans recording a Storage Unpacked podcast this week at Pure Accelerate in lovely Austin with Patrick Smith. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic. Great to be here in Austin. Weather's good.
Lovely, isn't it? Absolutely wonderful. Apparently, by the way, though, bearing in mind we're both English, we're missing lovely weather at home.
I heard that. I was listening to the cricket earlier and they were talking about heat and sunshine in the Oval.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, so you are field CTO for EMEA?
Field CTO for EMEA at Pure Storage, yes. It's a good role to have, actually.
And that's a job you've been in about 12 months, I believe.
Yeah, I joined actually, my first day at Pure was the first day of Accelerate last year. Accelerate was a little bit earlier in the year in May.
Yes.
So I've been on board for about 15 months now, and it's been a great 15 months.
Excellent. I know you because we've known each other for a while, but for everybody else who's listening who doesn't know you, would you like just to spend 30 seconds and give people an idea of your background?
Mm.
And I think that'll be quite interesting as part of our discussion today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've spent my whole career pretty much in the world of financial services. Joining Pure is my first time working on the vendor side of the table.
You've gone to the dark side from the customer side.
Many of my friends and former colleagues describe it as being the dark side. I'm not so sure about that. But yeah, so my career has been, as I said, 25 years in financial services in the UK, in the US, and seen a lot of technology changes over those 25 years. You know, if I think back to the days I started running around a trading floor, it's dramatically different these days.
It is incredible, isn't it? I said, and people probably bored with me saying it, but I started in the world of mainframe when we had no RAID, when we had no protection on disks, and disks were just spinning drives like they are on your PC. And that meant we spent a lot of time recovering data from individual tracks physically when the drives failed. And it, you know, none of that exists anymore. You know, it's a very different world today.
It's incredible, and I think people joining the tech world today and the world of the cloud just would look back at the technology that we had in the 80s and 90s in a state of bewilderment. It would be more surprising probably than an old-fashioned telephone.
Yes.
to a lot of people.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that from a customer experience then. Let's dig into it a bit more, because from my perspective, we hear a lot of talk about speeds and feeds and Flash as a product for, you know, improving performance in your environment. And people do focus on low latency and that sort of thing. But obviously, there's a lot more to it than that. You know, we look at the technology and we can say that, for example, consistency might be an important factor for customers. What's your experience about how the technology has changed the way CIOs and CTOs look at the industry?
Mm. It's a great observation. My last role on the customer side involved me first encountering Pure and then actually becoming a customer of Pure. And back in 2015, when I was looking at a new storage platform for a large organization, I evaluated a pretty broad range of Flash technology platforms. We were looking at an environment that suffered from performance challenges, short-stroked disk-based enterprise arrays, because you couldn't get the I/O out of the array, even though it had plenty of spare capacity. And looking at that challenge and looking at the benefits that Flash could bring, it felt like Flash was a perfect antidote or solution to that problem. But it was interesting as we went through an evaluation, performance can change on a monthly basis with people bringing out new products or product enhancements. And one of the things we're seeing about Flash technology is things are tending to get faster over time. But one of the biggest things that I was looking for was consistent performance.
Right.
Because my view on consistent performance is it has benefits all the way up through the infrastructure stack, into the application stack, and overall to the business service, what people really care about, what users interact with. if you look at that consistent behavior at the business level, then it brings lots of intangible benefits. So, for instance, fewer calls to the help desk if you're looking at your applications within a corporate environment. And if you get fewer calls into the help desk for an application, then you're going to also reduce the number of calls that then trickle down into your IT organization that hit, you know, let's see, today, the virtualization operations team and the database operations team and the storage and network operations teams. And, you know, everyone always jokes about it, it's always the network, but, you know, quite often people say it's always the storage, or they used to before Flash came along. Now, obviously, it is always the network.
And I agree with you. And I think if you look at the challenges that you had in those days before Flash was adopted, you could look at the effort that was required to dig into a storage problem at the drive level, where you could be spending hours trying to debug what might be actually a transient performance problem. You know, you go looking for it, and then you suddenly find that an hour later, the workload mix has changed slightly, the system's moved things around a little bit, and now all of a sudden that problem doesn't really exist in the same way it did. And that can just be so frustrating.
Absolutely. And that spread of performance, especially on disk-based platforms, could be massive.
Yeah.
You know, from less than a millisecond up to hundreds of milliseconds, or if things went horribly wrong, even worse.
Yeah.
We saw that on fully disk-based systems. But also, if you look at the world of hybrid, I always had concerns about hybrid, because whilst caching algorithms are good and tiering algorithms are good, if you need a data set that isn't in cache or in your flash pool, then you have to go out to disk. And the performance behavior of the disk is going to be dramatically different.
Yeah.
And so you almost drop down to the lowest common denominator as you look at your latency and your behavior there. So absolutely, moving to the world of flash dramatically changes that.
Yeah. So if you look at customers like those in finance or any of the other industries you spoke to, was there anything else apart from the consistency that they were concerned about? Were they worried about the cost of the platforms? Were they worried about whether it was justifiable to put flash in every single part of their infrastructure? Because as an example, when I first was looking at flash, we were looking at it thinking, great, we could use this technology, but it's going to be super expensive. And we wanted to put it only on the applications that really needed it. But we couldn't really identify the applications that really needed it. And even if we could, sometimes it was only part of the application that really needed it. So we couldn't direct it at the application. So there were huge challenges there. You know, how have you seen that sort of that change in people's views?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, what we saw with the early introduction of Flash was it was for the absolute niche applications.
Yeah.
You know, the less than 1% of applications that sat in the corner of an enterprise data center that only a few people knew about and hardly any people would dare touch. I think what we saw in round about 2015, 2016, from my experience, is that flash pricing and some of the technologies, especially dedupe and compression, that give great data reduction numbers, meant that flash could compete with high-performance disk technology. For instance, when I deployed it, I actually looked on Flash as being a cross-the-board deployment, right from development, UAT, prod, and into DR.
Yeah.
Because I just felt that having a consistent platform across a whole environment was important. And the benefits that it can bring outside of performance and that consistent performance are really significant. You mentioned debugging problems. You know, debugging problems is one of the overheads of a storage operations team.
Yeah.
But there are so many more operational tasks that are dramatically reduced by moving to especially tech like FlashArray, where provisioning, or actually initial setup of
designing
an array.
How you're going to even lay it out and what it's going to look like, and RAID groups and stripes, and how you're going to present things to front-end ports and back-end directors. Where do we start?
All of those things
had
to be taken into account. And it meant that the commissioning phase, including rack, stack, cable, configure, you know, that time, what I now call time to value,
yeah,
of a new piece of kit going into the data center was weeks or even months. And now you no longer need a forklift truck to bring an array into a data center. You no longer need strength and floor. It's a 3U piece of kit,
yeah,
that will deliver a vast amount of storage. Once it's up and running, you know, there are new tunables, especially on FlashArray. You know, one of our principles is to reduce the number of questions we ask the operations organization when you're either setting up or provisioning the system. Reduce the number of tunables as close to zero as possible.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Do you want, what's the host? What's the size of the storage? Do you want snapshots and do you want replication? And that's about it. So the, yeah, only optional ones are snapshots and replication. It changes the whole way that people look at their storage environment. You know, rather than it being time consuming, people are out to free up their time and deliver, you know, more value add like capabilities. Either moving up the stack to, yeah, manage the virtualization layer or focusing on coding automation to actually drive the simplicity and management of the,
yeah,
environment further.
I agree. And I always think that when we look at that, we think, people always say, oh, we can release staff or we can give them some better jobs to do or give them something else to do. I think sometimes it can be as much about managing the scale of the environment. So if you don't have to increase the size of the team, but you can take their stress away from the work they're doing, they can cope with managing more per FTE than they could have done the previous year.
Yes.
And then that's an overhead cost that you translates directly into an operational saving, you know, for every terabyte of storage you put in the environment.
Absolutely. One of the trends actually that I'm seeing recently is, you know, the technology wheel continues to revolve. Back when I started, we were all generalists.
Yeah.
We knew a bit about everything. We knew storage, networking, servers, in my world, market data and business applications. Then what we saw was technology started to become siloed. And now, I think with the rise of the cloud, we're seeing people becoming generalists again.
Yes.
People need to understand the full stack. And that means that those people who had a background in storage or where you've got storage there, being able to retrain more broadly, I think positions them perfectly for the new world of the cloud, be it on-prem or the public cloud or hybrid and multi-cloud environments.
And I guess at the end of the day, if that means that your technology delivers consistency and doesn't need thinking about when you provision it, so you can automate the provisioning for the sake of argument, whereas in the old days, as we were saying, choosing front-end ports, choosing which RAID group the LUM is going to be assigned to, or a wide striping group, all of that will be manual thinking. With a consistent platform, you can now automate that. So somebody who's got to manage a storage system, all they've got to do is plug in the higher layer in to the flash array or whatever product it is. And then there's very little for them to do after that, other than managing capacity and making sure that if there's a fault, you replace and repair. You know, you can really simplify the operations at that point.
Absolutely. And one of the other big benefits of that much more consistent environment is you get better availability.
Yeah.
Because you have, as you look at not just the deployment within a large enterprise, but if you look at the deployment of all of the pure flash arrays across the globe, there are fewer snowflakes,
yeah,
in that deployment. There is much more commonality. With that allows us, with our monitoring through Pure One and the telemetry that we get from the install base, to improve availability. And it gives our customers a platform that they can really rely on. You know, six nines of availability from FlashArray is a great reliable platform to build your business applications on.
I'm really surprised that, this is a slightly offbeat statement really, but I'm really surprised that storage arrays have continued to be a focus for enterprise data centers when 5-6 years ago there was a lot of talk about, oh, well, it'll all just be software defined. We'll go off and buy all of our servers and drives from some white box manufacturer. We'll put the software on top and everything will be fine. We won't have to pay those super high margins that those vendors were charging us. But that, it hasn't really played out like that at all. And from my perspective, I look at it and think, because I think we still need that reliability, consistency, and everything that goes with it. What's your opinion about what you've seen in the market?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people were caught up a few years ago with trying to be like the hyperscalers.
Yeah.
And they thought that the hyperscalers had an had data centers full of entirely homogeneous environments,
yeah,
that were completely interchangeable. And actually, the hyperscalers haven't gone that way. They absolutely have their compute environments, their storage environments. They have disaggregated the two worlds. And so we're seeing that some people have had a go at trying that, but the amount of engineering effort you need to throw at an environment to build a reliable, scalable, easily managed, software-defined environment is way more than most enterprises are prepared to devote to.
Yeah.
And actually, give that responsibility back to the storage vendor. And if you look at really what you want from a software-defined storage environment, it's availability, it's easy management, it's it being able to play a part in an infrastructure as code world that allows you to effectively ignore storage as storage and be able to have a data as a service like environment. So I think that's causing people to either move back from having a nirvana vision of software defined storage, or just understand that when they look at their actual requirements, they can get it far more easily, quickly, and with less lead time and pain than by trying to build it themselves.
Yeah, and I find it interesting looking at, I don't know whether you've seen it, but the Nitro equipment that Amazon has built. So basically they've said it's too much effort to have I.O. in software on the host. We'll put a dedicated I.O. card in, which will expose NVMe drives to the very thin Nitro hypervisor. We'll put in a dedicated networking card that will do exactly the same thing. So they've pushed a lot of that I.O. functionality into hardware.
Absolutely.
Which is completely the opposite of the SDS model of saying, you know, we should be putting everything in software.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's effectively an endorsement of dedicated storage hardware.
Absolutely.
And when you see the hyperscalers doing that, then I think you've completely flipped. You've gone from the world where, oh, surely the hyperscalers are all doing software-defined storage, to now they definitely and publicly are not.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we see what you've announced at the event this time round, how is that going to affect what enterprises do with their storage and flash deployments? Now, that's a bit of a leading question, because I sort of know what's coming up here. Why don't you take us through what's been announced, and then we can see how that plays out in the enterprise.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic accelerator. I think probably one of the most exciting accelerates that we've had with Pure, because of the number and impact of the new product announcements that we've got. So firstly, FlashArray C, which brings all of those benefits of consistent performance to the applications that historically customers would have said didn't require flash performance. So FlashArray C is really going to challenge the applications that are still sitting on spinning disk or on hybrid arrays, and I think will deliver, as I said, that consistent performance for a whole new breed of applications that will be new to flash, and at the same time delivering that simplified management story and reliability play that you get with Pure technology.
So this is C for capacity, because you're doing this with TLC / QLC storage here. So it's about building up a more capacity play, not necessarily a high performance play. Now, and the reason that I think that that's interesting is because the very beginning of our conversation, we talked about the benefits of the reliability of flash, of consistency of I.O. and everything else that it brings operationally. It doesn't mean that flash has to be delivering the fastest response time in the data center every single time. Although that's required for a certain set of applications, it isn't required for all applications. So what this is, from my perspective, is it's allowing you to sweep up a lot more of that hard drive based technology justify putting it on flash in environments where they maybe couldn't have done the justification as easily as you did when you were working in financial services?
And I think what we're seeing is organizations collecting more and more data, organizations understanding that data has value, and even if you may not see value in data today that you have today, there may be value in that data in the future, so they don't want to delete it in the same way that they may have been forced to before. But they need a home for that data.
Yeah.
And when they want to access it, they need to access it in a consistent way. What you'll see with FlashArray//C is, to your point, it's a large platform. You know, it's not intended for tens of terabytes of capacity. The starting point is, you know, approaching a petabyte of effective within a 3U rack, which is just remarkable density.
Yes, yeah.
And brings all the benefits of consistent performance, easy management and reliability to a data set that you've previously not been able to justify putting on flash, even with the with some of those benefits. So it's going to cause people to revisit the platforms they have in their data center and look at the benefits of flash for them.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. So any other highlights you think people should look out for?
Well, it's interesting. We talk about flash effectively moving down the performance curve with FlashArray//C. We've also got the introduction of SCM, storage class memory, with Optane. And that direct memory cache, as we're calling it, is going to introduce a new capability at the top end, driving down latency even further.
Okay.
And providing fantastic performance for especially things like database workloads. It's going to be used as a read cache. And we think that's the optimum place to use Optane technology today.
Yeah.
And so introducing FlashArray//C at the lower end of the flash performance spectrum, and then SCM at the top end.
So the customers just to be able to slot that SCM drive into their existing chassis and just use it? I'm guessing there's a software upgrade to take use of it.
So we've just launched the latest version of Purity, which supports SCM.
Okay.
And so customers will be able to take an existing array and install direct memory modules into the chassis. If they need to create space within the chassis, then one of the benefits of non-disruptive everything in FlashArray means that they can easily move direct flash modules from the chassis into an external shelf if they need to.
Yeah.
So we have a way to introduce it for existing flash arrays, but also obviously customers buying new flash arrays will be able to buy them with the SCM technology from the get-go.
Right.
It is worth mentioning it's a performance play. So you won't be able to, it won't be supported across the entire range. It'll be supported in the X70s and the X90s.
Right, because okay, makes sense.
Really, if you're interested in performance, you're at the higher end of the flash array range. So that's the world of flash array for on-prem. And then obviously, last November, we announced our cloud data services strategy. We've had CloudSnap to AWS for some time now, which allows people to offload snapshots from FlashArray and push them into AWS and store them on S3 for cost-effective long-term retention.
Yep.
And that's going very well. We've now expanded that to include storing those snapshots in Azure.
Okay.
So into Azure Blob Storage. So that helps with customers who have an Azure public cloud strategy. And then probably most important of all is the general availability of Cloud Block Store, which is a huge step for us as a company, bringing all of the benefits that we deliver today with Purity on FlashArray in a customer's on-prem data center, and bringing that to the public cloud in AWS.
And that was a product I always thought was a very interesting one for you to decide to do as a company, because so much about what we'd seen in the original setup of the company was about looking at storage media from a flash perspective, building the product around it, understanding how it works, building a solution that was pretty much focused on that flash. And to move away and say, oh, well, now it's all going to be about software, some people might have looked at that and thought, that seems a bit of a departure. But clearly, there's as much value in the software as there is in the actual understanding of the hardware.
You know, it's interesting. Lots of companies like to describe themselves as software companies.
Yes, it's a big marketing.
Even when they're clearly a hardware company.
Yeah.
If you look at the way Just Pure is structured, we have a business unit model. And if you look at the business units are FlashArray, FlashBlade, PureOne, and Platform.
Right.
Of those four business units, only one of them has anything to do with hardware, and that's the Platform team.
Okay.
The other business units are 100% software. And if you look at our R&D teams, 85% software engineers. So, you know, we are no strangers to software and bringing the, and exploiting software to deliver our products. What we've done with Cloud Block Store is not just taken our hardware and put it in in AWS's data center or close to it. We've actually worked very closely with AWS to build a software capability that leverages AWS's underlying infrastructure.
Right. Yeah.
And optimized it to deliver performance, reliability, and easy management in an AWS environment. That ease of management is really key, because our customers enjoy fantastic simplicity and ease of management on-prem. Where they've written automation, they'll simply be able to take that automation that they point at their FlashArrays on-prem, point it to Cloud Block Store, and it will simply work.
Carry on, yeah.
It is just the same. So that ease of management is a big focus with Cloud Block Store. But then one of the reasons why we moved in this direction is all of our customers are either talking about or implementing a hybrid cloud. Data is one of the anchors.
Entirely, yeah, absolutely.
Or boat anchors when it comes to moving to that hybrid model. And so our belief is that providing a consistent data management platform that spans on-prem and the public cloud bridges that divide. Yeah. And through technologies like CloudSnap, asynchronous replication, we provide the ability to move the data and therefore the workloads between those paradigms. And so we think it gives customers real choice. Probably more than that, actually, if you look at the commercial construct for it, within our Evergreen storage service subscription model, we now give customers the ability to use either on-prem storage or storage with Cloud Block Store under the same ES2 Evergreen storage service banner. So we provide that flexibility and that cloud-like model.
Okay, brilliant. And you know what? We could go on talking all day, I think. But I think this is a good point to call a halt to it for this particular episode. People want to find you online or follow the event online. Where should we direct people to? And from a Twitter perspective, #PureAccelerate is the hashtag, and I guess purestorage.com will have stuff online.
Yeah. Absolutely, you'll see a huge amount coming out of Accelerate. There's a huge amount of buzz here in Austin. We're here 2 days before the event actually starts, and there are Pure people and partners and customers all around us. So yeah, it's going to be a lot coming out of Accelerate.
Okay, thanks, Patrick. Great to catch up and talk to you soon.
Great to see you, Chris. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter @StorageUnpacked or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.